Good evening. It's an honor to be here. And this place here in Italia has always going to have a special place in my heart because this is the very first place I've ever preached at. And it was right before I went to school. And we had the clock malfunction that gave me a panic attack up here. Like Charlie Brown was saying, I thought I had preached a 20-minute sermon in 4.5 minutes, and I started sweating, and I was trying not to have an anxiety attack. And I apologize because how did I go to 20 minutes and 5? And when I realized when I sat down and I looked at my watch and I looked back at the clock and I looked at my watch and Charlie Brown said, well, Abraham, is there anything you'd like to say? Anything we can do for you? I said, can you please fix the clock back there? Because you guys gave me a heart attack. But I'm very grateful for this congregation and for the eldership because, like I said, you do partially support me at school. And it's a very, very rigorous heart program, and it's by the grace of God that I'm still there. I'm not the sharpest pencil in the can, but somehow or another, I'm making it through. And a lot of it is because members like you and the eldership here that support students like us, and that means a lot to me. And I'm very, very grateful for that. For a way of introduction, I'd like to ask to please turn to Chronicles chapter 33, starting at verse 22. Second Chronicles 33, starting at chapter 22, and I'll be reading from the New King James Bible. But he did evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh had done. For Amon sacrificed to all the carved images which his father Manasseh had made, and he served them. And he did not humble himself before the Lord as his father Manasseh had humbled himself. But Amon trespassed more and more. Tonight we're going to be in chapter 33 of 2 Chronicles. And we're going to be looking at the life of King Manasseh. We're going to be taking a look at the type of king Manasseh was, the man he became, and the child he produced. We see that King Manasseh started reigning in Jerusalem at the age of 12. He reigned for 55 years. And if you look at starting at verse 2, the Bible says that he did evil in the sight of the Lord. If we look at verses 3 through 5, we see Manasseh rebuilt the high places and raised up altars to Baal. Baal was a Canaanite god of fertility and harvest. Most of the commentators state that Baal worship included bestiality and orgies. He made wooden images and built altars and placed them in the temple of the Lord. He practiced witchcraft and sorcery. We see in Deuteronomy 12, 2 and 18, verses 10, that God told Israel when they entered into the promised land, they were to destroy all pagan gods' altars, sacred pillars, and to burn their wooden images in the high mountains, in the hills, under every green tree. They were not to make their kids pass through fire. But we see in verses 6 through 8, Manasseh worshiped Moloch in the Valley of Hinnom. The Valley of Hinnom was located in Jerusalem, south of Mount Zion. And in New Testament times, the Valley of Hinnom became known as Gehenna. It was a waste dump that constantly burned. They would throw dead human and animal carcasses into the fire with the rest of their waste and trash. Jesus used this word Gehenna at least 10 times to present an image of eternal punishment. The Greek word Gehenna is translated in the New Testament as hell or hellfire. In this evil place, the Valley of Hinnom, King Manasseh made his kids walk through fire, basically sacrificing his kids to Moloch. In Kings 21, as well as 2 Chronicles 33, defines Manasseh as a very evil king of Judah, probably the worst Judah ever had. He seduced the people and caused them to sin against God. I want us to try to soak in and do a mental picture and to examine what's really going on here. King Manasseh was a descendant of King David. King David was promised by God that one of his descendants would sit on the throne. He was also in the bloodline of Jesus. This King Manasseh, who was in the bloodline of the Christ, of the Messiah, who was descendant of David, built altars in the high places to worship Baal. He practiced witchcraft and sorcery. He sacrificed his kids in the Valley of Hinnom. This is the type of king he was. If we look at verses 10 through 20, we see the kind of man he became. King Manasseh did so much evil that he provoked the anger of the Lord. In 2 Kings 21, we see that God sent servants and prophets to Judah, but King Manasseh continued in his sin and pagan worship. The Bible says that he had much blood in his hands. So the Lord allowed Assyria to take him captive into Babylon. He was taken in chains with a hook through his nose as they yanked him out, yanked him to captivity. The sad thing about this was that it took this, taken into bondage, for Manasseh to repent. And his afflictions, he cried out to God, and God heard him. And by the love and the mercy and the grace of God, forgave him, allowed him to go back to Jerusalem and continue his reign as king. Manasseh tried to do what was right. Since then, he got rid of all the carved images out of the temple. He instituted worship again for Judah. But the only thing he did not do, the only thing he was not able to accomplish, was to destroy the high places he had built. Now, a little side note here. King Manasseh, line of David, the bloodline of Jesus, the word was sent to him. He did not obey it. It took affliction for him to go into bondage for God to get his attention. How many of us here hear the preacher every Sunday? Sunday morning, Sunday evening? We hear the Sunday school teacher. We hear the word of God. But yet, like King Manasseh, we want to do our own thing. Just a thought. But we see in verses 21 through 24, we see the kind of son King Manasseh produced. Manasseh dies and his son Amon becomes king. The Bible states that he did evil in the sight of God just like his father did. He sacrificed the same carved images his father made. He did not humble himself before the Lord like his father, King Manasseh. He was so evil that the very servants in his house, the king's house, killed him. They took him out. They killed him. That's how evil he was. There's some things that, some little red flags that pop up here and there when I was studying this. Something that intrigued my mind that I think it's worth noting. See, Amon became king at the age of 22. Do you think maybe he went with his fathers up to the high place to sacrifice the Baal? Is it possible he was there watching his father sacrifice his brothers and his sisters? You think he may have been a part of the carved images in the temples, the altars being placed in the temple? And even though he saw his father being taken away in chains with a hook in his nose, do you think he knew anything about God? Do you think Manasseh taught his son anything about the Word of God? Or did he just mimic his father's sinful nature and pagan worship? Very sobering thought. Very, very sobering thought. And there's a question I want to ask us. What is our kids seeing in us? What have they observed us doing? Do they see us get up early Sunday morning, dust off our Bible, get dressed nice and pretty, come to the building, shake everybody's hands, sit nice and tall in the front of the pew? Amen, preacher. Do communion, sing, leave singing. But Monday through Saturday, they see us in our sin. Do they see us playing church? What are we showing our kids? Just as King Manasseh, it appears, never taught their kids about God. Are we taking the time to teach our kids scripture, or we just assume they're going to get it by osmosis because we bring them to the pulpit? They bring them to the church every day and they sit in front of the pulpit. Do we assume that they come to Sunday school and they're just going to be baptized, and it's up to the Sunday school teacher and it's up to the preacher to teach them, and they're going to be all right and they're going to be faithful members of the church? If we look around, the numbers are dwindling, and there's a lot of false teachings that are going on in the church today. You got the flat earth theory. You got this, they're talking about the new heavens and the new earth theory that's coming around. Some of the brothers are teaching on God is going to create a new heaven and a new earth. Sounding a lot like the Jehovah's Witnesses. Our kids need to be instructed. We need to live a Christian pattern. They need to see the light of Christ in us. They need to see us struggle for the Lord. They need to see us have a good temperament. They don't need to see us arguing and yelling and trying to run off people on the road with a road rage and all these other nonsense. What are we teaching them? What example are we going to leave them? And if they do decide to stay and don't fall away, what kind of leaders would they become for the church? We see Amon followed in his father's footsteps, sacrificed to the very same carved images that his father had made. And the text is very clear. It says he did not humble himself like his father did. That's a scary, sobering thought. And it extends past the kids, grandkids, nieces and nephews, where you work. What example are we giving? Do they see us on all kinds of things we shouldn't be doing near the water cooler? But do you want to come to church Sunday? There's examples that we need to follow, and it's very serious. And I take it very serious. You know, I wasn't always the perfect father. It was a struggle for me. And sometimes I can go back and think, man, what if I should have? Maybe they could have been, you know. Well, they're faithful now. They've been restored, but a lot of hardships that could have been prevented. What example did I leave for them? And I see a lot of little young kids here and some teenagers. What are they observing? Not just by the parents, but the members here in the congregation. Did they see Christ in us? Did they see this is the Church of Christ? We claim that we have the right doctrine. There's only one church. But do we live in a manner that shows the world that we are Christians? Or do some denominations out there present a better image than we do, and they're false in their teachings? We can see King Manasseh repented. But the cost of his son falling away. And it just keeps playing back over and over in my mind. I picture him as a little boy going up to the mountains, sacrificing to Baal. Him being there while his dad is sacrificing his brothers and sisters, making them walk through the fire in Gehenna. Fake temples, fake altars and carved images in the temple. What do our kids see? Do they see us burst out in anger? Do they see us do things that we're not supposed to be doing? That lays very heavy in my heart, and I think it should be very heavy in the church's heart. What have our kids seen? And just like King Manasseh was forgiven for his sin, God is gracious enough to forgive us also. And maybe some of us here that are dealing with something or don't understand certain things or just frustrated with the world and the craziness we see that's going on right now. You need to understand, God is there for us. God will take care of us. And with that, I would like to extend the invitation. And if anybody needs anything, prayers, questions on anything I just taught, they would like to talk to me or any kind of a study, please come forward. We stand together and sing.